best way to get the best deal is to align yourself with a good agent or somebody, a specialist in that arena that is in tow and understanding. And because like I said, I mean, the last five industrial deals that we did were all off market.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm super excited to announce our guest, Cody Payne. Cody, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So everyone, Cody Payne is Senior Vice President of Capital Markets. He specializes in office and industrial investment sales and has been in the business for over 15 years. So lots of great broker knowledge right here in the room. Everyone, Cody, why don't you give us a little bit of a general background as to yourself and your history in real estate?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I appreciate it. You know, I started my career in the early 2000s. We were doing a lot of office and industrial leasing out here at that time, and slowly but surely converted to more and more just on the investment sales side. But you know, I've always stayed true to the, you know, asset class of office and industrial. And, you know, I think we've got eight guys here on our team now and, you know, very high powered offense. And, you know, we deal in, you know, $1-2 million all the way up to, you know, $30-40 million investment size. And, you know, we deal with funds, privates, syndicators, you know, anybody and everybody under the sun. And office industrial is our forte. Most of our business is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I'd probably say 85% of it is, and then the rest of it's, you know, in other markets of Texas, but, you know, we like to stay in Texas.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I'm excited to just get your take on what is going on in the space. Let's start with office. I mean, obviously, COVID and, you know, the work from home trend, there's an impression that, you know, office is going to be a distressed asset class, that you can buy them at a discount. What's your impression of where everything is at with office?
Well, and that's a good question. That's an ever-changing question. And, you know, I feel like every 5 years we hear that whether it's retail or this or that is, you know, it's going to be the death of retail or something, you know. And so now it's office's turn. But, you know, I'll tell you, and I'll just really speak on Texas and Dallas-Fort Worth more in particular. You know, COVID, when it hit, you know, obviously we got locked down like everybody else. And, you know, many sectors of office, you know, were hit just like it was in other states. But, you know, I will tell you, you know, because a lot of the people that we deal with are out of state and, you know, we're actually, you know, we're an international firm. And so we've got a lot of offices out there. So I connect with a lot of our guys throughout the country. And, you know, Texas is, I think, and you'll see on every chart, has been, you know, leading the nation as far as, you know, pretty much everything coming back to work. You know, the stuff that I like a lot that I would never call really anything recession proof, but the Class B office market, you know, we're doing a lot of business in that right now. I think we have, you know, five large Class B office deals that are under contract right now. We've been, you know, moving and grooving even since COVID with these.
How would you define Class B office?
So, you know, Class B office, you know, would be, I would say, definitely more private or, you know, syndicator style, not institutionally owned office assets. You know, a lot of these will be, you know, $5, $10, maybe $15 million, you know, mid-range, mid-level rents. You know, tenants a lot of times will also be local, regional credit. You know, you won't have as much national credit, which you still can and will absolutely on Class B, but not generally as much as you would in Class A. But the Class B market, I do like a lot. And, you know, even when the market crashed, what was it, 11 years ago, 12 years ago in 2008, you know, I'll tell you, the Class B market, yes, it still got hit, but, you know, not as hard as like the Class A market where, you know, the Class B, when the market got hit, we got, you know, tenants from Class A, we're moving guys from Class A down to B, we moved C to B. And so, You know, I've always liked the B side. I think that it plays very, very well, especially for our market out here and the amount of tenants that we have in the, you know, Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Okay. So I don't think I even really know what Class C office space would be. Would that just be something that's kind of like run down and not that nice?
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's like anything, you know, just like multifamily or other projects, you know, they have, you know, C, B, and A. And yeah, the C stuff, you know, generally doesn't have as many amenities. And, you know, it really goes to, you know, amenities, finish out, and things of that nature that a building has and can offer, and as well as area as well, that kind of dictate the classification of the office, just like most asset classes.
Okay. Yeah, sure. It makes sense. I just never really thought about office in depth. And so why were Class C tenants moving to Class B last year?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that so much as last year, but the Class B gets Class C tenants and they get Class A tenants that move up and down. And so as whereas Class A, you know, there's really nowhere to go up, you know, but when the market gets, you know, a little stagnant or is, you know, in a bind, some of those guys look for lower rental rates, you know, look to consolidate, look to move down, save costs. Best way to do that's obviously to go down to Class B, you know, just like downgrading from a Mercedes to a Toyota Camry. You know, sometimes we got to do that. And so that's why I like the Class B market. You know, the financing on it, we're still not really having any issues with that whatsoever. Still place debt on it with a lot of really good lenders out here and out of state. And so we're not really having much issues on selling on the investment side of the Class B side.
Cool.
If it's investment.
Yeah. Okay. And being in the office space, do you have any thoughts on what will come of like the Class A office space? Do you think it's going to be repurposed or will it just kind of wait until the market rebounds? And what might that look like if, you know, no one has a crystal ball, but.
Yes. And, you know, here would be, if I had a concern on anything, you know, the thing that I would be maybe not concerned, but be aware of, especially if you're looking into the office sector, is, you know, a lot of these office leases, they are, you know, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 10 year leases, right? And so some of these larger companies, especially when you drive around out here, I know you and I were talking about this offline earlier, but even out here, you'll drive by some of these Fortune 500 companies that have a lot of space and there's no cars in the parking lot still. And so, you know, a lot of those guys, many will continue to pay out the lease, but they may not need as much space in the future. But a lot of those guys will still have, you know, plenty of term left on their lease. And so I know we're working on a project up in Irving and there's a large healthcare company out there, and you know, they don't need but half their space in the future, but they have several years left on their lease. So that space won't come up for lease for a few more years. So I think on the office side, especially on some of these larger tenants, you may see quite a bit consolidation, but you won't see it all come onto the market immediately. It comes as the leases roll. And so unlike multifamily, where most of those are 6 month or a year leases, you know, a lot of the stuff on the office side is quite longer. So you don't see it immediately, but it rolls over time. But, you know, I do know that there's, you know, a lot of sublease space on the market. And I mean, I was talking to a guy out in California today, and, you know, they've got more sublease space on the market than they did in the last market crash right now. And so, you know, those are things to be on the lookout and understand what building class, what, you know, square footage size and all those aspects are, you know, being affected, and especially if you're investing in office.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, that's really great, you know, just to get a bit of an overview on office. Now let's move towards industrial, something that is maybe a little bit more, you know, has a little bit more of a clear path forward. So tell us, you know, for our listeners who aren't familiar with industrial, can you give us a brief overview of the space? Like what kind of tenants and how large, where?
Yeah. So, you know, industrial, obviously everybody knows, is a very popular sector right now. I like to classify it as two different sides of industrial that we sell, whether it's big box, large distribution centers that you'll see, and then, you know, small bay flex incubator space where, you know, you got a building with 50 small bay tenants in there that can range from small mechanic shops to plumbing companies, garage door companies and whatnot. Me and my guys here, we like the small bay sector a lot. We're doing a lot in the small bay business parks. They have what I consider less risk to them. Their rates continue to increase in many areas. The construction on those, you know, is getting more expensive. But yeah, you've got two sectors that I consider in the industrial space, and that's the larger industrial and then the smaller industrial. And obviously in the larger industrial, a lot of that is commanded by you know, larger funds, institutions, and players of that nature. And then when you start getting into the small bay, you still have a lot of funds and bigger guys are looking at that, but it's a lot more private capital. But it's definitely, I can tell you, we have recently done 5 industrial sales over the past few months, and not a single one of those hit the market. And they all had multiple offers because we just sent it to, you know, our group of investors, and they go with hard earnest money day one in many cases at asking price, quick terms, which a couple of years ago, we didn't see that at all. And I know that that's very popular and has been in the multifamily sector, but it's not something that you've seen historically in the industrial side. However, we are seeing that now. And so that shows the competitive nature of the industrial sector.
Mm-hmm. What is driving this hotness in the industrial market, would you say?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
I mean, it's many factors. And, you know, like I said, when you speak on it, as far as the Texas and Dallas-Fort Worth overview, it's due to the continued growth and demand of our economy out here. And the more multifamily that continues to be built, the more and more people that continue to, I guess they say, transplant from other states to Texas. And then, you know, as online shopping and technology and all that stuff continues to get better, you'll continue to see growth on the industrial side. And people are still building spec industrial. That's where they're building it without a tenant in tow. They're just straight up just putting tilt wall walls up and building industrial and still leasing it. And so I think as long as that continues to go on, you know, you'll continue to see positive things.
For sure. Yeah. I like how you broke that down. So would you say that industrial is kind of, if there's population growth and it's a good market. I mean, similar to multifamily is a good market for industrial.
Yeah. And I believe so. And especially out here, you get more and more businesses from other states that continue to come out here as well. And so you've got a lot of key factors that are driving the industrial growth and demand out here. And even on the west side of DFW, where, you know, they're building just thousands and thousands of new home construction. I mean, you're seeing industrial pop up right over there as well. And so I think as long as we have those key factors, we'll continue to see industrial growth out here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome. So, you know, obviously we're focused on Dallas-Fort Worth area. Is there any more color you can provide us on where to find the best deals?
Where to find the best deals? That's a good question. That's a call we get every day. We get people from, you know, out of state, wherever, calling me or one of the guys. How do I get a good deal? Where do we find the best deals at? I mean, and as you know, the best way to get the best deal is to align yourself with a good agent or somebody, a specialist in that arena that is in tow and understanding. And because like I said, I mean, the last 5 industrial deals that we did were all off market, you know? And so having and aligning yourself with somebody that has access to that is going to be, you know, keynote number one. If somebody's coming in from out of state and, or really anywhere, and they want to invest in Texas, obviously I like Dallas-Fort Worth a lot. I like Houston a lot as well. Austin's very, very hot, but the pricing is, you know, very high out there right now. We've looked at industrial out there that's well over $200 per square foot, which in the Dallas-Fort Worth area would be closer to $100 per square foot. And so, you know, those are 2 very different markets with, you know, very different things going on in them. But aligning yourself with the right person is always the most important thing, and no different than aligning yourself with the right lender and contractors and management companies.
For sure. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. Those partners that you develop in real estate team sport, we say that a lot, and it's true. You need to have those relationships with brokers, figure out how to be getting access to our off-market deals and kind of be in the know generally. So what would you say are some potential challenges or hurdles that investors could look out for if they're looking to invest in office or industrial?
Well, the hurdle that you'll run into on the industrial side is the competition. It's so, so competitive. We never in the past got hard earnest money as much as we did like we are now. And in many cases, and getting these all cash offers. And so the industrial side is going to be jumping on it when it comes out, and, you know, making sure that you're aware of, you know, the areas and things of that nature. As far as on the office side, you really, and I see a lot of mistakes, you know, unfortunately happen on the office sector by utilizing an agent or buying something. You're really not familiar with the area, because out here in Dallas-Fort Worth, here's the thing. When you're buying an office building out here, Dallas-Fort Worth has so many pockets, right? So many areas. You got the Stemmons Corridor, you got, you know, Las Colinas, you got Plano, you got North Dallas, Midtown, Uptown. A lot of those areas have tenants that operate in the same size. And what I mean by that is, take the mid-cities, for example. If you own office in the mid-cities, you really don't want vacancies over 5,000 square feet, because there's not a lot of tenants over 5,000 square feet. There's really not a lot over 3,500 square feet, to be honest with you. And so where we see people make mistakes is they'll buy these buildings that have these large vacancies and not realize there's not a lot of 25,000 square foot office tenants rolling around. And so understanding the building, the area, the size, how to attract these tenants, those are all key factors. And it's just like in multifamily or hotels, it's understanding the niche specific needs of that niche area and market. In Dallas-Fort Worth, has a lot of niche markets in it.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just a whole nother asset class to learn and understand the dynamics of. And yeah, so how many offers are you seeing on like an industrial space right now?
So on the industrial side, I'm trying to think. So we had one that we brought up in South Fort Worth, and I think within 2 days, we probably had 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It wasn't even on the market. We, you know, sent it out to our database and yeah, had those, and a majority of them were at or above asking with hard money. So yeah, we can get quite a few on the industrial side.
Okay, awesome. Well, it's definitely a space to keep looking at. It seems like it's just definitely only going to gain steam over the next few years. So we'll be looking into that as well. So thanks so much, Cody, for coming on and sharing. Is there anything else that I should have asked or could have asked, or you want to touch on before we start to wrap up?
No, I mean, you know, and I know as we were talking, you know, beforehand, you know, we've got a lot of funds and syndicators and private investors that own in other asset classes, multifamily, self-storage, retail, that, you know, have been buying off of us out here. And like I always say, you know, whether it's us or another group, you know, make sure you align yourself with the right guys in doing so. But there's unquestionably opportunity in the office sector. There's great opportunity in the industrial sector. Just make sure that you're ready for what's to come.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Cody, for coming on and sharing your great broker experience with us. Please give the listeners a way to get in touch with you and anything else you want to share.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we're very easy to find. You can go to texasofficeinvestments.com. You can see any of our stuff. You can contact me or any of the guys, and, you know, we'll get you fixed up and taken care of.
Awesome. Okay, everyone. Well, thanks so much for tuning in. Cody, thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.